Take our Bibles, please, this morning and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. The title of my sermon this morning is It's All of Faith. It's All of Faith. Romans chapter 4, verse number 16, the Bible reads, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the Father of us all." Let's bow for prayer one more time. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the Almighty God. And Lord, I pray that you might teach us from your word, the Holy Bible, at this time. Comfort, strengthen, inspire our hearts, we pray. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. The issue of salvation by faith alone. The theme of the book of Romans is faith. Romans chapter 1, verse number 17 tells us the just shall live by faith. We are saved by faith. We are to live by faith. The book of Romans stresses that fact very clearly. And as we've been studying chapter 4, we have noted the fact that God's salvation is not of works, it is by faith alone. And we noted from verses 1 to 5, from the life of Abraham, a man that was justified by faith. The Bible gives us that example. Verse number 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So the chapter begins with a focus upon Abraham, one that was justified by faith before a holy God. And he refers back, that is the writer of Romans, the Apostle Paul, refers back to Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6, where Abraham believed in God. He placed his faith in the coming Messiah, and the Bible teaches us he was justified. Then verses 6 to 8 of this wonderful chapter make a reference to the writings of King David, who also taught the fact that a person is justified by faith and not by works. So the example of Abraham is given, the writings of David are addressed, and then the chapter goes on to stress the fact that salvation is by faith alone without any need to commit any religious rites, so to speak. And the Bible here from verses 9 to 12 addresses the issue of circumcision, which was very important to the Jewish mindset. And many Jewish individuals were convinced that you need to be circumcised in order to have any hope of justification, eternal life. And the Bible reminds us that Abraham was justified there in chapter 15, and he wasn't circumcised until chapter 17. So the Bible gives us the example that Abraham was justified and he wasn't circumcised. And the Bible simply argues by that fact that no religious rite has any bearing on your justification. See, the equivalent to circumcision amongst the Jewish people would be baptism amongst the Christian community. There are a lot of people that believe that you've got to get baptized in order to have any hope of eternal life. So that argument is refuted. And then the Bible goes on to address the issue from verses 13 to 15, the issue of obeying the law. There are many Jewish individuals that simply believe that one can be justified before God by being circumcised. That's a good place to start. That is, if you're a male, and then by obeying the law. But the problem was, the first five books of the Old Testament, it was a rabbi only so many, a couple of hundred years ago, or in the first couple of hundred years of the New Testament, from the time of Christ, a rabbi worked out that there are approximately 613 regulations that one needs to obey in order to fulfill the demands of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. So that's next to impossible when you stop and think about it. And the book of Romans deals with that issue that of people thinking that they're obeying God's laws. But yet the Ten Commandments clearly spell out that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's standard of perfection. So a person cannot be justified by obeying rules and regulations. A person cannot be justified before God by obeying some ordinance or some religious rite. And then in verse number 14, the Bible teaches us, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void." So in other words, the writer is simply saying that either it's of works or it's of faith. There cannot be a mixture of the two. And then he concludes in verse 16, it is of faith. So a person receives God's salvation by faith alone. It is all of faith. That is what the Bible teaches. In other words, I cannot earn my way to heaven. I must simply acknowledge the fact that according to God's law, the Word of God, I am a sinner, I'm in need of God's salvation. Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. And if one repents and receives Jesus Christ by faith alone, that person can be saved. That person can be justified before a holy God without the works of the law. Now as we move on from verses 16 to the end of the chapter, Romans chapter 4, I'd like for us to note a couple of principles concerning faith that the author stresses. The first principle I'd like to note that the author elaborates on concerning faith, and that is that faith brings us into favour with God. When a person receives Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour, they are brought into God's favour. And that is found from the usage of the word grace there in verse number 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. The word grace means unmerited acceptance, favour with God. See, it is by faith that we are received into God's beloved, so to speak. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should or could boast of. We are saved by the grace of God. And when you and I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Saviour, that faith brings us into favour with God. There are people struggling today with the issue of self-esteem or their personal worth or value. And may I submit to you, my friend, this morning, for those of us that have received Jesus Christ, we have a God worth, so to speak. We are worthy of God. We are received into God's beloved. And God loves us unconditionally by His grace. So this faith brings us into favour with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are taught without faith it is impossible to please Him. See? We are brought into God's favour by grace. God loves you just as you are. Now, He might not approve of your performance and my performance from time to time, but as far as our person in Christ, we are received into the Beloved. And that's a comforting thought, that by faith I receive favour with God. I don't need to try and earn God's favour. In Christ I have God's favour by faith alone. But also note there at the end of verse number 16, that last little phrase which reads, who is the Father of us all. Faith not only brings us into favour with God, but secondly this morning, faith brings us into God's family. Faith brings us into God's family. In other words, all that believe in Christ by faith, whether Jew or Gentile, automatically become a spiritual child of God, a spiritual child of Abraham, so to speak. Abraham was justified by faith. And that's why that little phrase reads, who is the Father of us all? So for those of us that have received God's salvation by faith, we are spiritual children of Abraham. Now that doesn't mean that I am a spiritual Jew. We are not spiritual Jews. We are children of God. We are justified by faith, so the Bible makes reference to each one that is justified by faith, just like Abraham of old, who was justified by faith. We are spiritual children of Abraham. That's the analogy that the Bible portrays. Take a moment, please, and go to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So every individual that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour, they automatically become a part of the family of God. And this family comprises of individuals that are already in heaven, like Brother Bob, and for those of us that are still living on planet Earth, the family of God. So by faith we not only receive God's favour, by faith we are born into God's family. Salvation by faith was made possible through the line of Abraham. It was through the line of Abraham God provided a Saviour, a Messiah. It's through the line of Abraham God provided the Scriptures. And it's through the line of Abraham we are justified by faith. So that's why the Bible makes reference to the fact, for those of us that are justified by faith in Christ, we are spiritual children of Abraham. Thirdly this morning, I'd like for us to note, verses 19 to 21, please. Note verses 19 to 21 of Romans chapter 4. And that is that faith has a foundation in the Word of God, the promises of God. Let's back up to verse number 18 for a moment. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verses 19 to 21, please. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So So lesson number one we've noted this morning, that faith brings us into God's favour. We are the beloved of God by faith. And I'm thankful for that. God loves me unconditionally, though my performance from time to time doesn't please him. As far as my person, I am received into God's beloved because I am a child of God. And faith also brings us into the family of God. By faith, we become a part of God's family. We become a part of God's family, which is in heaven and which is upon the earth. But thirdly, I'd like for us to note this morning, is that faith has a foundation. That foundation is the Word of God. And this is stressed here from verses 19 to 21 predominantly. And God uses the example of Abraham once again. And he uses the example of the birth of Isaac, their first son. And the issue of his body being dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb is in reference to the fact that Abraham was 100 years of age and Sarah was 90 years of age, and God promised them a son, somebody to pass on the inheritance to. Because God said to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to make you a blessing. And through your seed, I will bless the whole world. But the problem was that Abraham and Sarah had no children. And time was pressing on. And Abraham was a ripe young age of 100. And Sarah was a ripe age of 90. And they were still waiting for a son. And no doubt Abraham scratched his head and was wondering, now, how is this going to be? God, you've told me I'm going to be a blessing to the whole world. But we have no children. How can that be? And God uses this example to remind us concerning the fact that Abraham, even though Sarah doubted initially, but yet she came around and God honored her by placing her in the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith there in Hebrews chapter 11. But all the way through Abraham to simply claim the promises of God. God, you promised me that you're going to use my seed to bless the whole world, but I need a son. I need a son. And the Bible teaches us that he staggered not at the promises of God, verse 20. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So Abraham placed his faith in the promises of God, found within the eternal word. And Abraham proved that he was righteous by faith by cleaving to the promises of God. Go to verse 22, please. Note verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So in other words, Abraham proved his faith by cleaving to the promise of God, who said to Abraham, Abraham, you will have a son. I know you're old. I know your wife is old. I know it's physically impossible, but with me all things are possible. And Abraham just simply chose to believe that. And in God's fullness of time, the Bible teaches us that Sarah did have a child at the age of 90, just as God had promised. And all the way through, until that very point of climax where Isaac was born, Abraham believed God. Abraham remained steadfast. His faith didn't waver. Though Sarah's faith did waver, Abraham remained true and cleaved onto the promises of God. And there's a picture of Isaac for you there on the banner at no extra charge. So the promised child was given, and Abraham
proved his justification before God. He proved he'd been justified by faith because he lived out his life in continual faith in his God. That what God promised, he would perform. His faith was in the promises of God. Just like Abraham, by faith, was prepared to surrender Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham, by faith, believed that God would fulfill his promise in providing a child. And as we have just read in verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Genuine faith has an outworking. And we see this in the life of Abraham, cleaving to the promises of God. He knew that God had said to him, I will bless you and I will use you to be a blessing to the whole world. And he, by faith, had to trust in God to provide an heir, a son, via which this blessing can be passed on to others. So he staggered not at the promises of God. And my friend, for those of us that are Christians here this morning, let's not stagger. Let's continue to be strong in faith. What God has promised, God will fulfill. God will be true to his word. All of God's people said. By faith we enter into God's favour. By faith we become a part of the family of God. It's by faith we cleave unto the promises of God. If God said it, that settles it. That settles it. If God has promised to provide our needs, yes, he will provide our needs. That's the type of faith that needs to be outlived in your life and in my life as the people of God. And that was the type of faith that was evident in the life of Abraham, who proved his faith, his saving faith, by the way he lived out his life. And may God help us as people of God to do likewise. We say we have faith. Faith without works is dead, being alone. May God grant us the grace to just take God at his word and cleave unto the promises of God. Because what God has promised, God will provide. That was the faith of Abraham. So once again, the author of this wonderful book makes reference to Abraham. Wow, what an example. What an example, a man that truly lived by faith. Proved his faith by looking to God to honour his promise of a son. And at the ripe age of 100, Abraham had his first son. And via the line of Isaac, God provided a saviour. Via the line of Isaac, God blessed the whole world. God honoured his word. And my friend, for you and I that are Christians this morning, if God said it, that settles it. May God grant us the grace to just believe God, to be strong in faith like Abraham of old. And then he concludes in verses 23 down to verse 25, by simply saying, this faith in the promises of God was not just for Abraham, it's for everybody. It's a faith that you can have. It's a faith that I can have. Note verses 23 to 25, please. Now it was not written for his sake alone, and I'm thankful for that. This is not just for Abraham. This is for you and me that know Christ as Saviour. That it was imputed to him, verse 24, but for us also, to whom shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. So the example of Abraham was given, a man that was justified by faith in the matter of salvation, and Abraham lived by faith in cleaving to the promises of God. And the author concludes this section by simply saying, take comfort. It's not just for Abraham. This was not just a once-off situation where God just honored Abraham and God did something special in the life of Abraham alone. No, it's for all of us. For all of us that believe upon Him. For all of us that have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham is our God as well. And the promises of God that were available to Abraham, those same promises are available to you and me through Christ Jesus. It's not just for Abraham. It's for you and I, my friend. It's all of faith. It's all of faith. We're saved by faith. We are to live by faith. And my friend, this morning, if you have yet to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, may I remind you, you cannot earn your own way to heaven. It is not of works, lest any man should boast or could boast. All our works of righteousness are as filthy rags, the Bible teaches us. They mean nothing to God, but my friend, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He paid for our sin once and for all. He shed His blood for your sins, for my sins. God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died. Christ was buried. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He was raised again for our justification, verse 25. He was delivered for our offences. He died for our sins. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So my friend, you can also live by faith. And this faith that Abraham experienced is a faith that's available to all. See, now it was not written for his sake alone, but for us also. For us also. We can be saved by faith like Abraham. Are you listening to me? We can be saved by faith like Abraham. And we can live a life of faith, like Abraham. We can claim the promises of God, like Abraham. Now that gives me great comfort. I don't know about you, because if God said it, that settles it. And I can be like Abraham of old. I can rest upon the Word of God. God promised to provide my needs. Therefore, He will provide my needs. That's it. I've just got to be patient. I've just got to wait. Just like Abraham and Sarah had to wait. Had to wait a little time before that promised child was given. But God promised. And my friend this morning, let me encourage you, child of God, listen to me. If God has given you a promise from His Word, don't stagger. Cleave unto that promise. I don't know what that means for you, but I can assure you there are things that you and I are, that all of us are praying for. Don't stagger. God has promised He'll come through, but He'll do it in His time. Yes, He will. God works according to His timetable, not yours, not mine. The life of faith. By faith we are favored by God. By faith, we are born into God's family. By faith, we can rest our life upon the promises of God. And the example of Abraham is given once again. My friend, this morning, salvation from sin, it's all of faith. It cannot be works plus faith. No, it's either works or it's faith. You can't mesh the two. It's either one or the other, but the Bible teaches it's not of works, it's of faith. By faith, we're loved. By faith, we're born into God's family. By faith, my friend, we are to live out our lives. The just shall live, how? By faith. God is determined for you and I to live by faith. Oh, but Pastor, I don't like that idea of living by faith. Well, I don't either. But that's what we need. And that's best for us. And that will lead to spiritual growth. And that will glorify God. Notice that little phrase there at the end of verse number 20. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. A faith life glorifies God. Congratulations. God calls you to live by faith. As we live by faith, cleaving to the promises of God, it glorifies Him. It glorifies Him. Are you a Christian? Have you received Jesus Christ as Savior? Have you made that commitment? Let me encourage you to make that commitment. And then for those of us that have made that commitment, I'm not sure what you're going through at this time, but I can assure you that God wants us all to live by faith. And Abraham is a wonderful example of how he was justified by faith and he lived out his life by faith. And he gave evidence to others that he was justified by the life he lived because he chose to cleave onto the promises of God and by faith cleave unto God. The one that had promised can certainly provide, and God did for Abraham, and God will for you as well, my friend. Christian, let me encourage you, continue to walk by faith. It's the only way to go. We often use that phrase in different settings. It's the only way to go. Well, the Christian life, the only way to go is by faith. And God is determined to keep you and I on that pathway because that glorifies His name. And all of God's people said, let's be upstanding, please.